Well, thank you for that introduction. I'm really grateful to be here this morning. And I appreciate the songs that were sung this morning. The message of really all the songs seemed to be praising God for sending his son to die on the cross so we could have forgiveness through him and be reconciled to him. And that spoke to me this morning because that's what I had prepared to preach on this morning. So I think God has something he wants to say to us. And I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are as well. Now, as you might have figured out, today is first Sunday of April. And does anybody else feel like this year is just going by really fast, or is that just me? I don't know, but it just seems to be moving right along. We're already in April. That means that Easter Sunday is coming up in about two Sundays, I believe. So Easter is the time where we celebrate more than just fluffy bunnies and colored eggs. The main purpose of Easter is to celebrate what God has done through Jesus. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross and then his resurrection on Sunday. And so that's what we're going to look at today. The God-man named Jesus, who lived about 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to make atonement for us. So, how does this still relate to us today? Well, obviously, it's more than just celebrating an act that happened in history, an event. It still has practical implications for us today, and I want to look at three of the benefits of the atonement for us today, even as 21st century people. And those would be that, one, we're forgiven of our sins. Two, we are made holy. And three, we are reconciled to God. The first benefit of accepting this gift of salvation that God has offered to us is that we can be forgiven of our sins. Ephesians 1:7 tells us that we have redemption through Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus took our punishment on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Now, this means that God no longer condemns us for the sins that we committed before we were saved. He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now, we can't really appreciate just how great this is until we realize the condition that we were in. You see, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have each one turned to our own way. There's no one who does good in their own strength. Apart from God's grace, we're completely self-centered and wicked. Without God, we're in bondage to sin with no hope of escape. We are completely helpless. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he's loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. It is by God's grace that we have been saved. God so graciously has poured out his love into our lives to redeem fallen humanity. How marvelous is this gift? God saw our condition. He saw that we were helpless. He saw that there was no way in our own strength we could dig ourselves out of the pit that we dug by our own choosing, by our own free will. We chose to sin and turn away from God. But he reached down and he pulls us out and he offers his hand to anybody who's willing to accept it. He'll pull us out. And that is just marvelous to think of. And it really blesses me this morning that God, out of his love, reaches down to us to pull us out, to help us when we cannot help ourselves. So Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that our sins could be forgiven. Now, if we accept God's gift of salvation through the atonement, not only are we forgiven of our sins, but we are then made holy. Now, why is this important? Well, Hebrews 12:14 clearly tells us that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. God saves us from the bondage of sin, but he also sanctifies us through his blood. He changes us. He sets us apart to himself. He pulls us out of our sin, and he sets us apart to himself as his possession, sets us apart from our sin. Anyone who accepts the atoning sacrifice of Jesus by grace through faith, God adopts into his family. And I think this is an interesting word picture of adoption because it can be a little confusing sometimes to throw out a bunch of terms like holiness and sanctification. What does that really mean? But I think the idea of adoption really helps us. See, God doesn't just pull us out of our sin, set us on our own feet, and just, yeah, run along now. It reminds me of a funny video I saw online once. There was this shepherd, or the sheep had gotten stuck in the ditch, and it was more of a crevice than a ditch. And he was just wedged in there. He couldn't move. And the shepherd comes along, and he's like, grabs his legs, pulls him out, sets him on his feet, and the sheep takes about 2 bounces, tries to jump back over the ditch, and isn't even close. He just goes straight back into the ditch. And it looks funny because, I mean, you'd think the sheep would try to make it over, but it looks like he just intentionally jumped right back into the ditch. And it's a hilarious video. I'd encourage you to look it up after the service, of course. But it's just, it looks funny. But thankfully, that's not what God does to us. He doesn't just pull us out, sit us down, and then walk away and let us do our own little thing, because we would be just like that sheep and jump right back into the same dumb situations we were in before. But God, he takes us home and he adopts us. He adopts us as his child, and we are then his. We take on the last name of God, so to speak. We become a Christian. We get to live with God as his children while we're still on earth, and then ultimately we get to go to heaven and live with him for all of eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the atonement doesn't just affect us for a moment. It changes our lives. It affects us for all of eternity. And John 17:3 tells us that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, isn't eternal life just living forever? Well, that's part of it. But real eternal life is being in a relationship with God for all of eternity. True eternal life comes from being connected to the source of life, God. As I stated earlier, this can only happen if we are made holy, because God is holy. So not only are we forgiven of our sins through the atonement, but we're made holy so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we know that when we're saved, we are made holy, but what we were just discussing is primarily positional holiness, as we like to call it. It's a change in status. We went from unholy to now we are made holy. But this is just part of it. See, we also have to grow in holiness. And this, I want to go back to that family relationship that we see in Scripture of adoption. So when I was born, about 20 years ago, I was born a Johnstone. I was born a Johnstone. So I was and still am a Johnstone, just like your pastor was and still is a Ziegler. And we know what that means. Now I can only say that because we're related and that side carries the dominant traits, clearly. When we're born into our family, we take on that last name. And for me, I am a Johnstone. That's who I am. But that doesn't mean I know how to act like one. Or it doesn't mean I know how to act like my dad wants me to act. So he had to train me, growing up, how to act like a Johnstone. It was often implied, you're a Johnstone, now start acting like one. And this is kind of how it works in our spiritual lives as well. We're made holy, but then God works on us and helps us to grow and be more like Christ. We become Christians at the moment of salvation, and then God shows us what we need to change and how we need to grow to be and act like a Christian. So when we believe on Jesus, we are forgiven of our sins, and we are made holy. Then we are given the strength and ability to grow in holiness and in our relationship with God. And this brings us to the third benefit of the atonement. We are reconciled to God. Our relationship with God is restored. And this really is the main purpose of the atonement, and really the gospel just in general, that we are reconciled to God, that our relationship with God can be restored. In fact, if I had to summarize the entire Bible in one word, it would be reconciliation. The whole Bible tells the story of how God created us originally to exist in a perfect, loving relationship with him, and how we broke that sin, that relationship through our sin, we turned away from God, and then how God has orchestrated and worked throughout history ultimately through Jesus' death and resurrection to bring us back into that relationship. You see, God wants to have a loving relationship with us. He wants to be reconciled to us. And this is really incredible to me, because God doesn't need us. He didn't create humanity to fulfill a need that he has, because God is a trinity of persons, and each person of the trinity has existed for all of eternity in a perfect loving relationship with the other persons. So it's not that God needs humans to have a relationship with. He didn't create us for that purpose. He created us to have a loving relationship with him, but it's not out of his need. It was actually out of an overflow of his love. The persons of the Trinity realized this love that we experience in the Godhead is so wonderful. Let's create humanity to share this with them so that other people can experience just how great this love is. And then we went and broke it. But God doesn't stop there. He's been working throughout history through love to bring us back to himself, because he loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Not because he had to, he wasn't obligated to, but because he loves us. And that is just amazing to me. Accepting this gift will be the best thing that ever happens to you, and I am sure of that. I've accepted the gift, and it's changed my life to live and be reconciled with God Almighty, to live in this perfect, loving relationship with God. So not only will your sins be forgiven if you accept the atonement, not only will you be made holy, but you will be reconciled with God. So what should our response be today? Well, if you have not accepted the free gift of salvation that is made possible to you, then the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God is standing with open arms, just ready to accept anybody who comes to him. This is so amazing that he doesn't require us to do anything. He's not requiring us to get to a certain spot before he accepts us. He comes to where we are. Going back to that illustration, he pulls us out of where we are. He doesn't expect us to climb out before he accepts us. He reaches down to where we are. He's willing to take us and reconcile us to him if only we accept the offer. So if you have not accepted this gift today, please, please do it today. It'll change your life. It'll completely change everything about you, and it'll be the best decision you've ever made. So what about us who have made that decision? How should we respond to this? Well, I hope that this sermon's encouraged you like it has me and has helped you to remember just how loving God is. And the songs we sung about earlier were stressing that, just how loving God is, that he would send his son to Calvary to die on a cross for us, die a gruesome death, and then be raised again so that we could be restored to God. And that's just amazing. So I hope we can reflect on that and in this Easter season. But also, we can do a little more. Now, I said we enter into a relationship with God. And like any relationship where at least one party is not absolutely perfect and flawless, there's room for growth. And in fact, growth is necessary. So I want you to think of a marriage. How many of you are married? I can't raise my hands. I'm not. All right. Okay. Had to think about it. No. How many of you have at least seen someone who's married? How many of you have been in a relationship? Okay. Not very many hands, so that's slightly concerning. But we all know what a relationship is. There's two people who are involved. And every relationship that's supposed to last, especially a marriage, you've got to grow. You've got to work through things together. When you're first married, there's a status change, right? You go from single to married. But is that all marriage is? It's just a change in status? No, it's a relationship. You've got to grow the relationship. You have to keep growing. And by growing, you don't just talk when you need something from the other person. You don't just spend about 10 minutes a week with them. No, there's a lot more to it than that. But unfortunately, I think we do that with God sometimes. In this relationship, we'll pray to him when we need something. And we might set aside 5-10 minutes for Bible reading today, just so we can, you know, mark it off that little spiritual checklist that we have. But the sad thing is that hurts us. You see, like I said, God doesn't need us. He's grieved. He's deeply grieved when we don't grow in our relationship with him. But he doesn't need us. But we need God. There's no way around that. We need God. So when we don't spend time with him and seek on growing that relationship, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot because we need God. So how can we do that? Well, two classic examples, prayer and Bible reading. Prayer, because it is a dialogue with God, an emphasis on the dialogue. We aren't just, he's not a vending machine where we go type in what we want and hope he gives it to us. No, we have a relationship, so we dialogue with him. We talk, and then we, every once in a while, should be a little quiet and see if he has anything to say to us. I think that'd be advisable. And then secondly, through Bible reading. You see, the Bible, like I said, is the story of how God has worked throughout history to reconcile humankind to himself. It is his love letters to us, and I like to think of them that way because it's really what they are. It is through the Bible, God shows us just how much he loves us. Some of you started dating back in the days when letters were still a thing and you actually wrote them out. That's cool. But did you read the letters that your significant other wrote to you? I would certainly hope so. That's expected. That's normal. That's good and healthy. You read what your significant other has written to you. God wrote us love letters. It's called the Bible. So we, if we're going to be in a relationship with him, we ought to read his love letters to us. And it will help us so much if we read those, because it tells us, first off, how he has worked throughout history to reconcile us to him. And also it tells us how to grow in our relationship with him. So pray and read your Bible. So as we move into the Easter season, I want us to remember what God has done for us through Jesus' death and resurrection. So it's through this atonement that we can be forgiven of our sins, we can be made holy, and we can be reconciled to God. It's through this sacrificial act that God has made atonement for us and restored us into a relationship with himself. So let's not just throw it away. Let's not take it lightly. But let's endeavor and seek to grow in that relationship with God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for sending your son to this earth to make atonement for us. You reached down out of love, not out of obligation, but out of your love to us, to where we are, so that you could restore us into that loving relationship with you. Help us today to endeavor to grow in that relationship and endeavor to love you more and more each day. We praise you for your marvelous gift of salvation, God. Amen.